Today we're going to jump into Romans chapter 3. This is week 2 of our Romans road trip series, and I want to once again encourage you, if you are not actively studying the word somewhere, or you're not in a passage or a portion of scripture, I encourage you to jump into Romans. Spend the next few weeks, read it over a couple of times, maybe even more than once. Maybe you've never done that before, but meditate on it, grow in it. Find some good study tools and study the book of Romans, because I think the book of Romans is so deep. It's like a theological book just of what God was doing then and then as it relates to us today. So please do that. I believe that what you do at home makes what happens here on Sunday morning that much better. I could preach the best sermon in the world, but if this is only your only God time is Sunday morning, that's not what God wants from you, and that's not what he wants for you. So I encourage you to be in the Word, study the Word, and maybe Romans would be a great time to do that while we are going through this Romans road trip sermon series. So today, step 2, we are going to be looking at Romans road trip, the Grand Canyon. Now, first of all, how many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? You've made it out there, and you have experienced it. Wow, there were like 7 times more in the first service. This whole family right here, they were like 2 weeks ago, which is awesome. But the Grand Canyon is one of those things that grand is in the name, and grand doesn't quite get there, I don't think. Like you can't imagine the Grand Canyon via a picture. You have to go and you have to see it. You just have to experience it yourself. Now, this is crazy, and you can all go online. You can put in YouTube, Conan Stevens, Grand Canyon. But I believe in 2017, Conan Stevens did one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of. He went from Rim, down the Grand Canyon, across the Grand Canyon, up the other side to Rim, and in the same day went back down, back across, and back up to Rim. So Rim to Rim to Rim crossing. That, my friends, is insane. It's about 44 miles, at least, of this rim to rim to rim crossing. And I just want you to know that if any of us in this room, I think I can speak. I want to look around real fast. Yeah, I feel quite confident. 100% of us, if we tried to do that, flew out there and did that, we would die. That is what would happen. We would die. It is literally almost impossible. It is impossible for anybody that has not trained for months and months and months. Now, Conan Stevens is a tall, thin guy. He's run ultra marathons, 100-mile marathons, which I've run a marathon. That was the worst experience of my entire life. And for some reason, I did it 3 times. I don't know why, but oh, that was terrible. But I can't even imagine doing over 100 miles in a row. Like on a bicycle, I think I could do that. I think we could do that, Dad, together. Maybe. But to run, no way. But he did a rim to rim to rim Grand Canyon, basically, you know, I mean, way more than a marathon, almost 2 marathons long of that. Now, a few years ago, Pastor Rachel and I, we were in Arizona, and we thought it would be a great idea. I don't even remember the name of the mountain, but we thought we're going to just go. It looked big. We're just going to walk up the mountain on the path. It was only something like 5 miles one way, directly up the side of this cliff. And so we thought we're going to do this. And we thought a bottle of water apiece should be plenty of water. It's only like 10 miles. It's not that big a deal. That was not very wise. Not very wise at all. And Conan Stevens, on this rim to rim to rim trip through the Grand Canyon, he made it to the bottom. He said that was horrible. Then he made it across, made it up the other side. And when he's at this house or this place where he could get water, because you can't find a lot of water in the Grand Canyon. That's not really a thing. So he fills everything up. And he's literally laying on his back in the shade, deciding, because he feels like he's going to die and he's only halfway there, deciding, am I going to call Ricky, who came with him on this trip, just to come and to get him and to take him home and to quit halfway through? Now, a rim-to-rim crossing of the Grand Canyon is incredible. Like, just to do that is absolutely amazing. In fact, on the board, like when you're going down the trails, it says, please do not attempt to go to the bottom and come back up. Please don't do it, because people die. People get stranded. We have to go rescue. Like, please don't do it. He didn't only do that, but went down, went across, went up, went back, you know, the whole deal. So he's there deciding, am I going to make this? He finally says, basically, why not? He's already throwing up. He's already sick. His body is shutting down, and he's halfway there. So he's got almost a whole marathon to go, which these numbers just don't even compute in my mind. But so he turns around. He goes, to make a long story short, cutting out, 20 miles or so, with about 4 miles to go, he's so close, if you want to say 4 miles up what he said was the steepest part of the whole thing. But that's okay. He's on his way. This lady's coming down with her son, and they're only a couple miles from where they're going to camp for the night. And so they were going to go in like 6 miles, camp, and then tomorrow go back, which would be a more normal thing. He says, I am, 40 miles in on this. And the lady starts just berating him because he looks like death. He's got salt all over his face because of the sweat that has poured from his body. He literally looks like and is collapsing. He's throwing up all over the place. The lady's like, what is wrong with you? Don't you know people die? Don't you know that you can't make it? You're going to die out here. Don't you have a family? And don't you have children? Is that what you need 40 miles into a 44-mile thing? It just wasn't helpful, I don't think. But she was trying to help. So he's laying there trying to decide. She's like, we have an extra tent. You can come and camp and then finish it tomorrow. And so he's laying there. Lord, should I? Is this a voice of the Spirit? Is this or should I continue on? And if you know Conan Stevens, no way. He's going to go. He's going to finish it because that's who he is. So he starts that trail, gets to the top. He left at 4 o'clock in the morning when it was 30 degrees. When he's in the bottom, it's over 90 degrees, like an oven just baking him. He finally makes it back 17 hours later when it's dark, gets in the car. He can't eat. He can't do anything. Driving down the road, he's throwing up, stop the car. This is a rental. Can't throw up in a car, because his body has shut down. The Grand Canyon is an amazing place and one that I will never cross over and cross back, probably ever, but definitely not in the same day, right? An amazing thing. Now, maybe the Hammetts, maybe your trip was a little different. I doubt you did a rim-to-rim crossing. No thank you on that one. But when I think about our sin, and I think about God's righteousness, what this passage, Romans 3, 21 through 26 talks about, I think that our sin and God's righteousness is about if we said, hey, Dad, let's go today and do this 44-mile trip across and back. And he was running this thing. To do it in 17 hours is amazing, right? It cannot be done. We cannot get across this gap from our sin to God's righteousness. We cannot. It would be like going to the Grand Canyon and trying to jump across the Grand Canyon, which you wouldn't even think of because it's obviously impossible. You cannot make it. Our sin separates us from God. And I think when we think of a road trip, when we think of this, the first step is simply to step up to the canyon, to realize that I cannot do it on my own, to realize that even to walk down the trail and across and back up, I cannot do it on my own strength or in my own power. There's no way that I can make it happen. It's not something that I can physically do. It's not something here that I can spiritually do. Our sin has simply separated us from the righteousness of God. But we see here in verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Now, this is a major moment, an absolutely pivotal moment in the book of Romans and in the early church, because before Jesus, before what he did, the law is what got you through. The law where you'd have to come to the temple, you'd have to have a priest sacrifice a bull or a lamb or a bird or these different things. You'd have sacrifices for you, and there would be a covering for you or of those things in your life. Now, Jesus has come. Now, there's a new righteousness that God pours out upon his people through faith in Jesus Christ. This is a major moment. This is a major step that all of creation, what the Old Testament was all about, was leading to Jesus, and in a sense so that Paul could speak and proclaim theology of who Jesus is and what he does and how he now covers us. Not a goat or bull, but his blood. that he poured out for you and for me. That is all that it takes. That canyon that we step up to, that we cannot accomplish in and of ourselves. Now there's a different route to get there. There's a different route to see ourselves on the other side of our sin and to step into God's righteousness. And the amazing thing is, it's not even my faith that gets me there. It's not me and what I did. It's not what I am. But it's simply through faith in Jesus. It's Jesus and what he is. And all I have to do is basically fall into him. Have enough faith to say, Jesus, you and his, what he did makes me new. Not because of the miraculous thing that I did. Nothing about me in this process besides being willing to say, Lord, I give you myself. I put my faith in you, and because of who you are, all of a sudden we are made whole. We are made righteous before the Lord. What an amazing thing that the God of the universe would send his son and Jesus would come to earth to span this canyon from our sin and his righteousness. I think when we step up to that canyon, we can then realize that there is a massive chasm. There's something that we cannot do. In fact, Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I like the word there, or actually I don't like it, because that means we all are failures, if you want to look at it that way. All have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, every single one of us, have made mistakes. What does that falling short look like? It means that we failed to give God the glory due him in our words, our thoughts, and our actions. It means that we've messed up. We've gotten off track. We don't give God glory, and then our life doesn't look like it should. It means we fail to qualify for and thereby reject the glory and reward that God gives faithful servants. We miss out on our own. We can't make it of our own self. We miss out on what God has. We fall short of the glory of God. We fail to properly reflect God's glory by refusing to be conformed to his image. So often it can be easy, and maybe we even say we love grace, we love mercy, we love what God does, but we miss it. I mean, we can't reflect who he is because we are not allowing ourselves to be conformed to who he's called us to be. We fail to obtain the final glory God will bestow on his people at the end of all history. We miss it when we fail, when we turn our back on him. In our own natural state, every single one of us falls short of the glory of God. Every single one of us fails to reflect his glory. Every single one of us finds ourselves lacking with a chasm that we have no hope of crossing in and of ourselves. The thing that's so amazing about God, the thing that's so amazing about Jesus coming, is that in verse 22 it says, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. That's how we come to this righteousness, is through faith in Jesus. It's through him, through his blood that he shed on Calvary for you and for me, the perfect sacrifice. What a great thing to know that it's not you or me, because right here in this room, there's plenty of people that have known me for long enough that we could put a list of things that disqualify me from going to heaven and being with Jesus. We could make a chasm worth of things. But you know what? It's not about me, but it's about the God of the universe, what he did. Us then having faith in Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden we can step over that chasm into righteousness because of Jesus. Now, something that is vital, I think so important, is that when we begin to talk about the law and to talk about the prophets and talk about the two sections of the Bible, that so often people want to eliminate portions of Scripture and say, well, these things don't matter, or they are not. And guess what? That is not what Paul is saying. It says the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The law and the prophets, the word of God, have brought us to a place where Jesus came, where he died, where we could experience him, we could have his life and his love. And now these same principles, the word of God, remains active and real for you and for me today. How I would look at it is, many of you, you've had at a moment in your life an opportunity where you've accepted Jesus, we would say, into our heart. You've turned away from the sin of your past. You've turned and said, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to make you Lord. I want to make you Savior in my life. Maybe it was that one decision. Maybe you raised a hand, or maybe you came up to an altar and kneeled before the Lord. When we think about this, it could be easy to say, thank you for your grace, thank you for your mercy. But then God invites us on this journey with him. A few weeks ago, I think 3.5 or so now, my wife and I got to go to a NASCAR race. We were kind of excited because normally NASCAR is on Sunday, and Sundays, generally speaking, we're busy, so that's not our best day to go to sporting events. And so we were like, well, what are we, you know, we always look for them. If there's a rain out, we drive there on Monday just because, you know, we can, it's fun. And so the NASCAR All-Star race got moved from Charlotte, which is 8+ hours away, to Bristol, Tennessee, which is only 6 hours away. It got moved from Sunday to Wednesday night. And so I was like, I found it. I saw the news release of it. They were going to have fans in the stands. So I said, I'm buying tickets. I may have bought tickets before even mentioning it to Rachel, because I was like, I just don't want to miss them. So we bought the tickets. It was even July. There was no midweek service. Like, praise the Lord. What a perfect setting. So we were like, we're going to do it. So we bought the ticket. And when you think of salvation, guess what? How easy it is to become a part or get in the family is to buy the ticket. To raise your hand, or just, it's really a prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, forgive me. Make me new. I turn from my past. Done. You're a part of the family. But you know what would have been a waste? Is for Pastor Rachel and I to buy these tickets and then never do anything with them. That would not be a good use of our money. And it would not have actually meant we went to a NASCAR race. It wouldn't have meant we got to be a part of it. But instead, guess what we did? We actually are crazy, and we took the doors off our Jeep and the roof off our Jeep and said, we're going to drive to Bristol, Tennessee with nothing on our Jeep. It was super fun. Except, you know what? It rains sometimes in the mountains, just pop-up storms. And it may or may not have absolutely poured on us for a period of time, which was super, we'll call it fun. It was very fun. We did realize something, that you can drive on the highway, like 70-ish miles per hour, and it can be pouring rain, and somehow you stay dry. It's really nice, mostly for a while. But we also realize that for some reason on a Jeep, this is just free, nothing to do with the sermon whatsoever, but if you are driving, that somehow the mist goes over the windshield and then the inside of your windshield gets completely full of water. So your outside windshield wipers are going, there's none on the inside. Apparently, that's a design flaw. We didn't realize it was a design flaw, but we needed inside wipers. So Rachel's like, how are you seeing? I'm like, I'm not. I'm just driving by faith. Here we go, Lord. And you couldn't slow down, because if you went slower, then there was less air, and then you got rained on. So you had to drive 70, the speed limit. It was very, very exciting. But all that to say, we drove to the NASCAR race. Why we went there? Because you can't get in the race if you don't go. And if you're not a part of it, you come to know the Lord and then you take a step. You move in an action. You don't just sit there and you don't just say, well, that was a great Sunday morning and a great experience. Because that's not being a part of a family if you never go, if you're not a part of it. Church is a part of what we do. It doesn't make anybody a Christian, but most Christians, I think lining up with the word, are a part of a congregation, a group of people that serve the Lord together because we're a family. We get to come and be together. But you know what also would have been silly? And I think in our Christian walk would be the same. To say, wow, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm in the family. I've got my ticket. I even went and I'm at the gate. But you know what? Especially this year, when you get to the gate, there are rules. There's things you can and cannot do. This year, specifically in the NASCAR race, you couldn't bring certain bags. You couldn't bring a cooler like you normally could. You couldn't do things. You had to wear a mask. You had to keep distance. There were special seats so that you were far away from people and so that you we were in this place, 150,000 people could have been there. They were only selling 30,000 tickets, which means there was a lot of space, a lot. We had like a whole row or two in front of us and behind us where no one was. Dad watched it on the TV, and he's like, you couldn't even hardly see the people because there were so few of them, but there were 20, 30,000 people there because of how it was. But guess what? We followed the rules to get inside of the race. We drove there. We bought the ticket. We did all of these steps so that we could enjoy the race. In our spiritual walk, sometimes I think we want to say, well, I came to the altar, I said yes. Awesome. But you know what that means? We get up and we move to go to the place we need to go, to be where God has called us to be. And when we're there, we follow the rules that he has laid out in his word. So when Paul says there's a new thing, Jesus is our righteousness, he's not saying throw out the Bible because we don't need to live in a certain way anymore. Absolutely not. But on the contrary, the word of God shows us and guides us and directs us into the truth of where we should be and who we should be. The Old Testament points to the principles of the truth of the word of God that are then confirmed in the New Testament. And it all comes together where we understand that there is a chasm, but that God's righteousness, that who he is, that what he gives us, that as we plug into him, as we pray a prayer, but then as we act upon what he has for us, we get to be a part of his family. We get to experience righteousness that we cannot have on our own, but that we experience because of our relationship with God. God's righteousness covers the chasm of your guilt, sin, and offense against him. His righteousness, not yours. You can't come up with your own righteousness, but God's righteousness as we dive into him, walk in relationship with him, and experience him in our life. God is so incredibly amazing. So we see in the next couple verses, in verse 25 and 26, I think we could say that there's a call to run to the covering. In fact, verse 24 said after, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now here, what we see is that there was a covering in the Old Testament. There was a law. There was something to follow. There is what we should do and what we have to do and what we have to line up with. And we have to come to the priests and we have to come to the temple. And there's a covering that would be laid over the people. This substitute, this propitiation of God, what he did in us, covered us. But here, it goes beyond a covering. It goes beyond just what Jesus and what these sacrifices would do. Jesus came, he died, and he became the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. He became everything that we need to experience righteousness, where I no longer have to go and sacrifice an animal. I no longer have to go and do these things. His righteousness becomes mine. When I believe and when I think about what God has done, instead of running to a covering, running to someone, you know, I'm really happy that you don't have to come to me and every single thing you do, tell me what you did so that I can make a sacrifice for you. Because instead of running to this covering or to this law, to this plan, the Lord himself showed up on this earth and he has come to be your covering. He's come to be more than that. He's come to be your savior, to be your Lord, to be your king. Jesus, by his death, by his blood, substituted himself for you and for me. His sacrifice became all we need. He's paid our fine. He's paying our debts. He's taken care of your sin. He's taken care of it all. He's put it on himself. And today, the question is, are we people who say, Lord, I don't only want something to cover me, but Lord, I want to run to you, my Savior. I want to run to you, my Lord. I want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, through the Word of God, through His Spirit, to become so real in my life and active in my life that this righteousness of God that is spoken of, that the truth of the Word of God that is spoken, becomes everything that I desire. That my life becomes and looks like and comes in line with the things of God, not because of anything being thrown away, but because I love Jesus so much, that I desire Jesus so much, that I want to honor Him and respect Him. And therefore, the law becomes even more real and becomes more active in my life. It means more in my life because it's not rules and regulations, but it's relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden, I don't have any desire to do anything that hurts a brother or a sister or a person around me, because that's not the love of God. I don't have a desire to do things that hurt me or hurt people that because of the things that I do. I don't have a desire or a need for things that control me or things that bind me or for addiction. Why? Because the Word of God, He's freed me. He's made me whole. He's put righteousness within me that now I have the opportunity to live in and walk in. Not because I just do things and He covers me, but because He's made me righteous and now I get to walk it out. I get to follow those rules. I get to have the ticket. I get to come to the gate and I get to do what God has called me to do. And because of that, in the middle of a pandemic, we can go to a NASCAR race and have 40 feet circle around us. Rachel said, I want all sporting events to be like this one. No one's up close to you. No one's getting in your space. No one's spilling stuff on you, right? When we walk in God, even in the chaos of our world, He's going to have us in a place where we can experience Him and know Him and love Him and do it better and better and better. And in fact, in this room, I would guess that every single person in this room, whether you've known the Lord for a day or for 50 plus years, I bet you could say, I look a little different than I did 50 years ago. But you know what's awesome? You're no more righteous now than you were then, because it's not about you. It's about God. But you know what else you know? Your life is a whole lot better. Your life is way more enjoyable. You have way less fear, way less anxiety. There's not those things gripping you and binding you because the righteousness of God, His righteousness, has now become what you walk in and who you are. The law isn't about the rule, but it's about relationship. And when I get it and I understand it, He frees me to live for Him and to walk in Him. And all of a sudden, I don't have to go to the Grand Canyon and think about this rim to rim to rim craziness. I get to go and, like the Hamas, to just enjoy what God did. I can say, man, I am a mess. I've messed up my life, but no longer. I just get to look at the beauty of what God has done in me and now what He gets to do through me, even as I still struggle to raise my kids like I should, even as I still struggle in areas. But every day I become more like Him. I look more like Him. Every day I line up with the Word a little bit more. And God says, I am so proud of you. And even when you make a mistake, I believe God is there with huge arms. I'm so proud that you keep pushing, you keep growing, and my righteousness becomes more and more real. What people see in you, but you are all there. Full grace, full righteousness. He's given it to you because Jesus, He is that awesome. And that's what He gave to you and me. And this morning, we are going to close our time by remembering Jesus, by taking communion. And at Radiant Life, we normally have done this every month. We haven't done it in a little while, and we're going to be doing it again. We're excited. There's something important about remembering Jesus. And on a day like today, when we've just looked at His righteousness that covers us, how much better? There's nothing better than be able to experience Him and His love in our life. And this morning, Pastor Joe and Jim, they're going to come. And if you didn't grab a elements as you came in today, just wave them down. They'll bring you one. But we're going to celebrate Jesus. But before we do, there's two areas, two groups of people. The first group, if you're here today and you say, I've never given my life to Jesus, or maybe you'd say, I am far from Jesus, I need to give my life back to Him, I need to come back to Him, then I encourage you, right now is your moment. You can take communion with us. You can celebrate and remember the goodness of God. All you have to do is ask Him right now to be the Lord of your life. What's that look like? Literally right where you sit. You can say, Lord, forgive me. forgive me of my past. I repent of my past and I turn from those things, which means sin, things that you're going to even find more and more that are in the Bible. When you find it, you say, Lord, I don't want that a part of my life. I'm going to let your righteousness show through in my life more today because I realize and I understand a little more than I did yesterday. And if that's you today, right now, I encourage you in the quiet of your heart, just ask him, Lord, make me new, make me whole, forgive me of my sins. And he welcomes you in. He celebrates. In fact, it says all of heaven celebrates when one person gives their life to Jesus. And that's what Radiant Life Church is all about, seeing one more person come to know Jesus. And there's another group today. Maybe you're here today and you say, I am struggling. Maybe you say, the righteousness of God is awesome, but I need to see some things kind of come out. I need my life to line up. I'd say, I need my life to line up with the norm of the Word of God. We all, that should be the goal every day, to line up with the norm of the Word of God. Maybe it's because our culture, maybe you're struggling because of what people would say, or even to line up with the Word right now can seem difficult, really difficult. But you say today, I don't want any excuse. I want to give all I am to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And I want to walk in a way where my life looks like what he's done inside of me. And I would encourage you right now, in your own words, would you just pray that prayer, whatever that looks like to you? Maybe it's, Lord, forgive me of this thing I did or of these things I'm doing. Maybe it's, Lord, I need to be a better parent. How I've been doing it, it's been rough. Maybe it's, Lord, help take my anger away. Lord, help my words to line up with yours. Or maybe today you'd say, Lord, the anxiety, the stress, maybe even depression of this moment of life. Maybe at home you're really struggling. Today, give those things to God. And I believe that he wants you to experience and feel that righteousness, his wholeness, his peace in your life. There's nothing like realizing that the God of the universe came to this earth, died on a cross, so that you and I could have righteousness, the righteousness of God poured out in our life, that we can run to him more than only a covering. We can run to the one that wipes those things white as snow. This morning, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for your broken body. We're thankful, God, that you didn't turn down. You didn't run away when it got tough, even when you knew it was going to be tough. Even when you asked the Lord if there was another way, you said yes. Your body was broken for us, and today we remember you, and we're thankful for the righteousness that you give us. If you would, eat the bread together. You can take the top off of the juice. Lord, this morning we are so thankful, Lord, that you let your blood be spilled for us. In no way could we ever be deserving. But Lord, your love, your grace, your mercy towards your people is astounding. And God, I pray that this morning, even as we remember what you did, Lord, that we wouldn't remember just to be able to say great and thank you, but Lord, we'd be able to remember, Lord, so that we can move into what you have for us, so our life can look more like you, so your righteousness that you give so freely, Lord, our life can line up with it, and we can live it out. Lord, we're thankful. Thank you for your shed blood. Thank you for what you did on that cross for us as the ultimate sacrifice, our substitute. If you would, drink the juice together, representing Jesus' blood. Today, if you would, if you're at home, if you're here in the room, would you just stand to your feet? And we're going to close this time out by celebrating, by worshiping, singing praise to Jesus. There's nothing better than the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the righteousness of God that he has poured out freely upon you. So today, church, let's worship. Let's lift him up. Worship you. We get to come before you. We get to lift up your name. And Lord, that you then come and you, for some reason, choose to show your grace and your mercy upon us, and you cover us in righteousness, that even while we're still working to line up to your word and we're still working, God, to become more like you every single day, God, that we walk in your righteousness and we're pure before you. And Lord, I pray that today, even in this moment, God, that you would pour your spirit out on every single person in this room, every person watching at home. Lord, where sickness and body may be, God, we pray for wholeness. Lord, where even sin is in our life, God, that it would be removed and you would bring wholeness, God. Lord, maybe where our mouth has spoken and caused hurt, Lord, we thank you, God, and ask you to remove those things and to bring wholeness, Lord, in every area. Lord, let the righteousness that we walk out shine through us because of your word and because, Lord, we want to follow what you called us to do and who you called us to be today, God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Jesus. You are so, so good. You're so good. Radiant Life, thank you for coming today and worshiping and diving into the word. As I said at the beginning, I encourage, get in the word. Romans is a great place. Read it. Every week you could read through it for the next few weeks. It is so rich, and God wants to speak to you through his word. Radiant Life, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. We hope to see you Wednesday night at midweek. God bless.